microphone. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America. And to all the freedom-loving Christians, patriots, freedom lovers, freedom fighters, and the rest of you, welcome to another hour of The Flip Side. I'm Jeffrey Bennett, your host for the evening. As Robbie just finished up 2 hours subbing for John on the National Intel Report, Robbie is at the lemonade stand, which is where I wish I were right now, but I'm not, so I'm here with you. Glad to have you here with us, Republic Broadcasting Network. Where can you hear us? I'm actually not sure. We're on the net, we're on satellite, we're on a couple of different shortwave frequencies, but I'm not quite sure which ones at this point in time, so we'll let you figure it out. My goodness. Interesting day for news. Helicopter Ben opened his mouth today, and I guess to some degree kind of put things off for a while. They decided not to adjust interest rates for a while, which is a combination of both good news and bad news. We'll touch on some of that a little bit later. We all know about the absolute total joke that took place in Boulder, Colorado, with this fruitcake, Mr. Carr. The term fruitcake could be considered to mean several different things, but that's up to you. I guess the one that affected us here in Arizona today and many people is one of the FBI's 10 most wanted was arrested today. Polygamist. What the heck's this guy's name? Jeff. No, not me. Not me. This thing doesn't want to roll. Warren Jeffs. That's right. Warren Jeffs. 50 years of age. Taken into custody last night after he and two other people were pulled over late Monday by a Nevada Highway Patrol trooper because there was no visible registration on his 2006 bright red Cadillac Escalade. For those of you who may not be familiar with Mr. Jeffs, he's a leader of the Fundamentalist Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a kind of a spin-off radical Mormon group of folks. He assumed leadership of the sect in 2002 after the death of his 98-year-old father, Reuben Jeffs. His father had 65 children by a number of women. Jeffs took nearly all of his father's widows as his own wives. Jeffs is said to have at least 40 wives. 40 wives? Now, folks, I've been married for 36 years to the same woman, and I love my wife. But I would not want two of her, three of her, let alone 40 of her. My wife said to me years ago, look, one of you is bad enough. I don't want to start training somebody else. So when this news came out, I sent a letter to the Arizona Repugnant, our local rag, and I said, Warren Jeffs should go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Then he could be one wife with many husbands? Oh, I think he'd feel right at home, don't you? Amazing. What a day in the markets today. The usual nonsense, a lot of ridiculous vacillation. Dow Jones closed up nearly 18 points today to end the session at 11,369. The NASDAQ up 11, closed at 2172. S&P was up 2.5, closed a little over 13. I'll give you the metals reports when we come back. On the flip side of our commercial interruption here. Stay with us, won't you?
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Well, I don't know about you, but I thought we already had Mad Men at the helm. Is Axiom a novel for the future? Or is it real life happening today? Sounds like an interesting book. I may have to pick that up. And I don't buy too many books. Welcome back to the second segment of The Flip Side. I'm Jeffrey Bennett. And giving you some market updates right here. Gold in the aftermarket is, it's rolling over right now. Can't do anything when it's rolling. $615.30 an ounce. Silver stands at $1,229. Platinum at $1,226. Each of them were up today. Not huge, but they, in fact, were up. In the aftermarket, gold is actually up $4.60. Silver up 14 cents. And platinum up $3. So that kind of gives you a wrap-up on what's going on with the markets. Bonds were up a little bit. All the various different stock indices were up. And oil was up, down, inside, out. It was down again today, which I'm not complaining about because I got to fill the tank tomorrow. Out of St. Louis today, wealth effect has begun to reverse in this country. Fresh evidence shows that high energy prices and sagging home values are pinching the main driver of the U.S. economy, the average Joe's wallet. Retailers and economists say many Americans are waiting to buy big-ticket items and are cutting back on the frills. Homeowners are shelving plans to remodel their kitchens. Home Depot won't be happy to hear that. Families are dining out less and tightening their budgets. Oh, I thought families were dining out less because John suggested last week they do so. People are taking funds from one area and committing them to another, such as gasoline and utilities and food in particular. Those words from Gregory Miller, chief economist at SunTrust Bank Incorporated. It was announced, of course, consumer confidence plunged big time in August, and we've still got a couple days left to go in the month. Worries about the job market have caused consumer confidence in the U.S. economy to tumble to its lowest level in 9 months. And in one final headline, U.S. housing slump fuels the crash fears. Foundering American property market could spark global slowdown worse than the dot-com collapse. The downturn in the U.S. housing market will force businesses to slash 73,000 jobs per month in the new year, and could in fact be more damaging to the world economy than the dot-com crash. Those are warnings from a series of economists. After a fish out, the rest of it's not important. It's getting the basic information in front of you. Something to think about. One of the economists says that things do seem to be getting worse very quickly. And yet that's not the way George W. Bush talks, you know, Jr. That's certainly not the way that Bernanke talks. Personally, I like Nagin's comment about the hole in the ground, and somebody was offended by it. That's too bad, because there seems to be a far greater rush to fill up the hole in the ground in New York City than to get people back in their homes down in New Orleans, in Mississippi. So Nagin was right, and I'll support him. As a matter of fact, I thought Nagin was right when he ripped into the administration a year ago when Katrina was taking place. And then he came back and kissed butt, kissed rumpus unto D.C., hoping that he'd get a lot of aid. And he didn't get aid. William Norman Grigg, quite a well-known writer for The New American. I'm not a supporter of the John Birch Society and have not been for many, many years. However, they do have some writers that I have tremendous respect for. Grigg is one of them. In next week's edition, the September 4th edition, in a column entitled America for Sale, as our government careens toward bankruptcy, Grigg begins, Americans are being dispossessed by the outsourcing of industrial jobs and the buyout of our infrastructure by foreign interests. Let us digress. Grigg suggests that we begin this segment with a parable. To some of you, that might call it a fairy tale. Driven to the streets after a run of relentless misfortune, a man took up station on a street corner holding a hand-lettered sign that stated, "We'll work for food." I saw that guy this afternoon. Most pedestrians and motorists passed the desperate man without so much as a second's worth of thought. One exception was a well-dressed businessman who read the sign while waiting for the street light to change. But burdened by thoughts of his own concerns, the businessman gave into a moment of imprudent sarcasm. "You work for food? I work for Visa," he exclaimed to the sign-bearing man. "I'm working for food I ate years ago." After getting the green light, the businessman launched one last unworthy jibe. "You're not broke. You're even." The homeless man eventually found a steady job, paying just enough for him to get by and save a little money. His employer, a large and amoral conglomerate paying most of its employees subsistence wages, used its workers' savings, which the conglomerate controls, to make loans to spendthrifts like the heavily leveraged businessmen, people who continued to live well beyond their means by stretching their credit lines well past the breaking point. At the same time, the conglomerate quietly used its expanding financial holdings to buy up practically everything in sight. Well, eventually the loans were called in. The debtors were unable to pay. The businessman found himself, along with many of his fellow spendthrifts, working for that same predatory conglomerate. His earnings and standard of living were harmonized downward to those of the homeless man whose plight he had once mocked. Well, adapted, what I've just shared with you is adapted from a stand-up routine broadcast on Comedy Central about a decade ago. And that parable, Grigg continues, is not intended to inspire mockery of the homeless or other unfortunate people. It is intended to encourage a realistic appraisal of our national economic condition. Now, if you think of the homeless man as symbolizing the poor, but industrious Chinese population, you know, willing and eager to work for a fraction of what Americans earn, and the businessman is a stand-in for an American population whose prosperity is largely a debt enhanced illusion. The conglomerate, of course, you and I, is the entity upon which our nation and our government have become increasingly dependent to underwrite that pseudo-prosperity, the communist Chinese regime, which is rapidly acquiring the means, quite literally, to buy our country out from underneath us. Indeed, my friends, the process of selling off public assets to foreign interests has already begun. In June of this year, a Spanish-Australian conglomerate paid $3.8 billion to lease the Indiana Toll Road transfer of electronic tolling equipment began in August, and by fall it's expected that the new foreign owners will be collecting tolls once paid by Indiana residents to their own state government. And similar deals are being struck by states and municipalities all across the country. Roads and bridges built by U.S. taxpayers are starting to be sold off, and so far foreign-owned companies are doing the buying. That was reported by the Associated Press in July of this year. At present, the main foreign players in these deals are companies based in Australia and Spain. But as China accumulates ever-increasing quantities of depreciating dollars, it will begin to look for tangible goods in which to invest those dollars. And as we will see, many analysts in this country are suggesting that we should welcome Chinese direct investment in our country as a way of closing our imponderably huge fiscal gap. Without Chinese support, the dollar would have already collapsed, you see. Bond yields would have soared, and the U.S. economy would already be in a recession, if not a depression. Those words observed by Bill Bonner and Addison Wiggin in their study entitled Empire of Debt, The Rise of an Epic Financial Crisis. Where does the money come from? Well, you see, the Chinese get the dead presidents from selling products to live Americans. Dead presidents meaning the dollars, who seem ready to consume anything that comes their way. First, the dollars come rolling off U.S. printing presses. Then they make their way into the hands of Chinese and other manufacturers, and finally they're returned to their birthplace as loans. China is fast becoming America's company store, to whom we owe our standard of living and possibly even our soul. And so by accumulating hundreds of billions of dollars in their foreign exchange holdings, the Chinese are acquiring the power to define our nation's economic destiny. Now, at some point, my friends, perhaps very soon, Beijing will have the ability to decimate our currency by selling off its dollar-denominated bonds. But this would inflict severe damage on China's economy as well, making that option the economic equivalent of a suicide bomb attack. Now, a better approach from Beijing's perspective would be to take its huge and expanding supply of depreciating dollars and invest them in tangible, productive assets. In recent years, China has been following that approach in the Western Hemisphere. During his 2005 tour of Latin America, President Hu Jintao inked lucrative energy and resource deals with Brazil and Argentina and Venezuela. In January, China completed a deal with Canada for joint development of Alberta's uranium mines and oil sands. Now, with Beijing using its dollar hoard to buy up assets in both South America and Canada, what is to stop it from buying up the United States of America, a debt-plagued country with vast natural resources, the world's best transportation system, and a huge and increasingly idle manufacturing base? Oh, that's right. China got our manufacturing base for free. Horrifying as the prospect of a Beijing buyout would be to most Americans, the concept is being discussed in principle by some policymakers as a solution to our impending and all but inevitable national bankruptcy. And so how big is the deficit, you ask? Well, you see, as was reported by USA Today, on August the 3rd, the federal government, and this will come as no surprise to many of you, keeps two sets of books. Now, the set the government promotes to the public has a healthier bottom line, a $318 billion deficit in 2005. An audited financial statement produced by the government's accountants following standard accounting rules discloses that the actual deficit for 2005 was over twice that amount, at $760 billion. And if the cost of Social Security and Medicare were included in the total, as any honest accounting would require, the federal deficit would have been $3.5 trillion. You see, that's the annual deficit. Not to be confused, my friends, with the national debt. In what sense is a deficit of nearly one-third of $1 trillion healthy? In roughly the same sense that congestive heart failure is healthier than a sucking chest wound. Both are lethal if untreated, but the latter will kill much more quickly. We're a bottom-line culture. We've been hiding the bottom line from the American people. That complaint from Representative Jim Cooper, a Democrat from Tennessee. A former investment banker who offered a draft resolution supported by congressmen on both sides of the aisle to require the president to include audited spending and deficit numbers in his budget proposals. Quote, it is not fair to the people, and it's delusional on our part. End of quote. Well, that Washington has invested heavily in the preservation of that delusional system is illustrated by the fact that Representative Cooper's proposal for honest accounting was not even considered by the U.S. Senate. Hello, it's an election year. Kick them out. Official Washington remains determined to conceal the size of the fiscal gap, a figure that includes not only the existing national debt, but also future commitments such as Medicare and Social Security. A 2005 report compiled for the National Bureau of Economic Research by economists Jagadish Gokhale and Kent Smetters, the names don't even sound American, concluded that the fiscal gap is $65.9 trillion and growing. Now, the fiscal gap, explains Professor Lawrence J. Kotikoff, Boston University, and he offers the most telling measure of a country's solvency. He said, if the fiscal burdens facing current and future generations exceed the resources of those generations, get close to doing so, or simply get so high as to preclude their full collection, the country's policy will be unsustainable and can constitute or lead to national bankruptcy. There's the words again, national bankruptcy. Well, my friends, by any rational reckoning, the United States has already surpassed that point. This estimated fiscal gap of $65.9 trillion is more than five times the United States' gross domestic product and almost twice the size of national wealth. One way to wrap one's head around $69.5 trillion, Kotikoff continues, is to ask what fiscal adjustments are needed to eliminate the red hole. The answers are terrifying. One solution would be an immediate and permanent doubling of personal and corporate income tax. One solution to resolve our problems would be an immediate and permanent doubling of personal and corporate income tax. Another would be an immediate and permanent two-thirds cut in Social Security and Medicare benefits. A third alternative, were it feasible, would be to immediately and permanently cut all federal discretionary spending by 143%. That's the one I'd go for, baby. Oh, but let's not forget an awful lot of the other benefits that are being paid out are excessive to begin with. Those are details which are offered by Dr. Kotikoff in his publication called Is the United States Bankrupt? A recently published paper commissioned by, guess who? The Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. To begin closing the fiscal gap, Kotikoff urges imposition of a national sales tax to replace existing income, payroll, and estate taxes, phasing out the existing Social Security program in favor of a personal security system into which all workers would be required to give a 7.15% of their wages into an investment. But you see, I don't get paid wages. That's my technical garbage, right? Of course, they want to still allow it to be managed by the Social Security Administration. They want to abolish Medicare and Medicaid in favor of a medical security system under which Americans would receive an individual-specific voucher to be used to purchase health insurance for the upcoming calendar year. Kotikoff believes that these radical reforms would dramatically reduce the level of current federal spending, which is, at best, a debatable assumption. In any case, a fiscal gap still remains that can only be closed through additional revenues. How is it to be overcome? Some relatively optimistic commentators, Grigg continues, insist that increased productivity, working smarter rather than harder, will lead to consistent growth in the U.S. gross domestic product. Well, that's always been my son's angle. He thinks he can work smarter, not harder, and therefore he's constantly trying to borrow money from the First National Bank of Mom and Dad. There's nothing wrong with working harder. Got to work harder and smarter. But Kotchikov says this will lead to consistent growth in the U.S. gross domestic product. After crunching the numbers, he says he does not buy into that assessment. Nope, he does not buy into it. My mouth got ahead of my brain. Were productivity growth a certain cure for the nation's fiscal problems, he continues, the cure would already have occurred. Assuming the United States could restrain the growth in its expenditures, is there a reliable source of productivity improvement to be tapped? The answer is yes. And the answer, he says, lies with China. Not only, according to Kotchikov, is China supplying capital the rest of the world, it is increasingly doing so via direct investment. For example, he says, China is investing large sums in Iran and Africa and Eastern Europe. Given that China holds hundreds of billions of dollars in its foreign exchange reserve, the question for the United States would be whether China will tire of investing only indirectly in our country and begin to sell its dollar-denominated reserves. Doing so, he concludes, could have spectacularly bad implications for the value of the dollar and the level of U.S. interest rates. Of course, another possibility presents itself, that China could use its dollar hoard to buy valuable assets within the United States. In other words, rather than dumping its dollars, maybe China could use them to buy up the United States. Now, I realize I'm sharing some concepts with many of you listeners that are appalling to you. But what I'm sharing with you are the opinions of Grig as a writer, and partially in part because of his interview with Kotchikov. So bear with us, and let's see where he's going with this. Fear of Chinese investment in the United States seems terribly misplaced, Kotchikov writes soothingly. Looks like it's Kotlikov. With a national savings rate running at only 2.1%, a post-war low, that's World War II, the United States desperately needs foreigners to invest in the country. And the country with the greatest potential for doing so is China. In fact, he says China could emerge as the world's saver and thereby the world's savior with respect to its long-run supply of capital. Well, unlikely as it may seem that foreign interests could buy our country out from beneath us, the process has been underway for a very long time, my friends. On a single day in June, reported the Associated Press in July, the Australian-Spanish partnership paid $3.8 billion, as we mentioned earlier, to lease the Indiana Toll Road. An Australian company that same day bought a 99-year lease on Virginia's Pocahontas Parkway. And Texas officials, yes, Texas officials, decided to let a Spanish-American partnership build and run a toll road from Austin. And I know I'm not going to pronounce this right, so I'll get some calls in the morning. From Austin to Seguin for 50 years. It could be Seguin, Seguin, I don't know. I'll hear from you. Seguin, thank you. You got it? Spanish-American partnership forked out a bunch of money to Texas, this so-called Republic of Texas, to build and run a toll road for the next 50 years. Not a lot of people know the tolls from the U.S. side of the tunnel between Detroit and Windsor, Canada, go to a subsidiary of an Australian company, which also owns a bridge in Alabama. Folks, we're in deep doo-doo. Stick around. I'll see you on the flip side of this commercial break, because it doesn't get any better.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Introducing Idea Sticks. Idea Sticks are self-adhering, so you simply peel and stick to create the look of hand-painted tile on your kitchen backsplash. Bring new life to kitchen countertops. Accent and coordinate kitchen appliances and accessories. The possibilities are endless. And because Idea Sticks are steam and heat resistant, you can even use them in your bathroom. Idea Sticks are removable, reusable, and washable, and won't leave marks or a sticky mess. So you can change to a new design at any time. During this special TV offer, you can order your very own Idea Sticks. A, the floral bouquet. B, the dolphin porthole, or C, the floral and fruit basket for the amazing price of just $19.99. That's right, only $19.99. And that's not all. During this special TV offer, we'll even throw in a sheet of custom accents absolutely free.
To order your very own Idea Sticks, call 1-800-564-5812. That's 1-800-564-5812.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Yeah, I tell you, we're not talking like a plumber. People are slipping through the cracks. Talking a little bit about the selling off of America. Some of the examples I gave you just before the break are just a few examples of how the roads and bridges built with our tax dollars to begin with are being sold off. State and local governments are strapped for cash and relatively limited in the financial tools at their disposal. Oh, they can float bond issues, they can simply, but they cannot write blank checks that are covered by new money printed by the Fed. And thus many of them lured by the prospect of a quick buck, amounting to billions of dollars in some cases, have put out our public assets, our highways, our airports, our utilities, and even state-run lotteries have all been put on the auction block. You know, what's really sad about that, they get that quick influx of cash, but in 5, maybe 10 years at the most, all that money is gone. But the tolls will keep rising, and the money is going to keep flowing into the foreign coffers. So once again, we're doing the stupid thing. We're selling it off for the short term and taking it in the shorts in the long term. You remember if last winter, most of the United States was up in arms over the prospect of an executive branch deal to permit Dubai, one of the United Arab Emirates, to operate U.S. port facilities. And that was seen with just reason as a potentially disastrous breach of national security because it would have put our port security in the hands of a company owned by a government who was allegedly cozy with Al-Qaeda. And yet 6 months later, Congress enacted a free trade agreement with Oman, which borders Yemen, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE that would permit government-controlled companies in that Arab nation to own and operate U.S. ports. And not surprisingly, China, which now controls the most crucial port facility in the hemisphere, the anchor ports to the Panama Canal, oh, they're looking to build on that advantage. And it's got cash-hungry politicians across the country lining up to help. In late July, 3 members of the Dallas, Texas City Council, Ed Oakley, Bill Blades, and Ron Natinsky, traveled to China to discuss a possible joint venture involving building and operating a shipping, storage, and distribution facility located inland for the purposes of relieving congestion at seaside entry ports called the Inland Port of Dallas. Huh? Is there a body of water anywhere near Dallas? I mean a real body of water? You know, this is all still compounded on top of the Trans-Texas Corridor, the TTC. You know, that's the thing that we've had Dave Hodges on talking about. Oh, yeah. The freight moving north from Mexico and the $180 billion Canamex Corridor. All of this explains the pilgrimage of Dallas councilmen to Beijing to court China's favor. Houston city government has also made a pitch to China. Houston and Corpus Christi are reportedly offering Beijing access to ports on the Gulf of Mexico. And China is reportedly in negotiations to lease Kelly Air Force Base, which was converted into an industrial park just about 5 years ago. But you know, those developments in Texas are just part of a larger battle that involves cities such as Kansas City, Missouri, St. Louis, Memphis, and even Indianapolis, all of which hope to use transportation logistics assets to become the next big North American gateway for Asian imports. But we're not talking about importing inexpensive Chinese-made consumer goods. Oh, no. Remember the process described by Bonner and Wiggin in Empire of Debt. Dollars are printed by the Fed, which are spent on Chinese-made goods and end up being sent back to the U.S. as loans, which are used to buy more Chinese-made goods. We've reached the point in this process, ladies and gentlemen, where American politicians are literally begging Beijing to be taken on as business partners. And if Lawrence Kotlikoff's recommendations prove attractive to policymakers, our government will come to embrace direct investment from China as the key to staving off utter insolvency, and in that manner they'll manage to continue to get themselves reelected. What that could mean in practical terms is that the debt-racked American middle class would suffer the fate of the businessmen in our parable. We'll no longer own our businesses. No, now we're going to be working for the masa. You've got to put some thought to that. One has got to take a very strong, close look at exactly what their elected officials are doing, not just at the federal level. We have to look locally. You see, until tonight, I never knew. I was not aware of this toll road business going out of Austin. I knew that there had been discussion of putting a toll road in. I had no idea. Once again, I don't live in Round Rock. I don't live in Austin. I live in Arizona. We have our own problems over here. Hefe and the boys are probably coming over the border right now. Several hours ago, I co-hosted the second hour of the National Intel Report. Robbie's filling in for John on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, and Robbie Noel and I do a fair amount together. Shared an interesting story with our listeners. Some of you may have heard the story then. I've edited it somewhat because we're having certainly time constraints during this hour. And I want to share an interesting story with you. About 15, 16 years ago, I remember walking into my bank in Arizona. At the time, it was called the Valley National Bank, and found that they sold gold. They would sell gold bullion, American Eagles, with one caveat. You had to store them with them. Now, you didn't have to store with them, but they would not guarantee a repurchase of those gold pieces unless you did store it with them. Well, certainly all these years have gone by, and we found out over the weekend that with the price of gold and other precious metals up sharply over the last couple of years. And you've got to think about things in those terms. Where was gold a year ago? Where was gold 2 years ago, 3 years, 5 years ago versus where it is today? I don't care what spot is or whether it's up or down today. The overall trend, it's up almost three times. Well, 2.5 times. That's still quite a bit. But we're finding that investors of all types, even those who don't even consider themselves to be investors, are putting more money into gold, into bullion, as a hedge against inflation, and as an alternative to the traditional paper markets. Now, in order to capitalize on that trend, a bank in Tennessee, the First Tennessee Bank, is now selling U.S. Mint gold, silver, and platinum coins in Knoxville, Tennessee, and other markets around the state. Now, Mike Donnell, the Mint relationship manager for First Tennessee, says that gold is in pretty high demand, and we expect demand to stay strong. Investors and collectors alike are buying bullion at the bank's financial center on the Chapman Highway. We have people coming in to buy silver dollars to put under a kid's pillow when they lose a tooth, and some people will come in and buy a dozen gold coins. Buying gold can be pretty pricey, though. First Tennessee is selling the American Buffalo gold coins for $695 each, the American Eagle gold bullion coin for $670, and the American Eagle silver bullion coin for $18 apiece. Well, that is pretty pricey. That is beyond what even the general approved coin market, certainly much, much higher than Republic Trading Group, would charge for those same items. Despite the hefty cost, this column goes on, gold bullion coins are popular with banks' customers. Now, gold has always been valuable, Donald says, even during biblical times. It's valuable. It's unique. It's a great way to pass down an investment to grandchildren. They'll always have good value. Those words from retired Knoxville, Tennessee resident Jerry Reynolds, and from Jim Wansley, a professor, a finance professor at the University of Tennessee. He says, First Tennessee does not publicly discuss the volume of the gold it sells. However, it's easy to understand why investors find precious metals such as gold, silver, zinc, and platinum a solid investment these days. During uncertain economic times, gold has been a traditional hedge against inflation, the thinking being that gold retains its value while inflation erodes the value of national currencies. As the market tends to move sideways or do poorly, other asset classes look more attractive, and all of the precious metals have done quite well. Consider the price of gold today compared to a year or two ago. Well, as I shared with many of you earlier, gold stands at around $615 an ounce right now. Just about this time a year ago, it stood at about $420 an ounce. So you're still up by nearly $200 an ounce for those of you who bought just about a year ago this time. Some of you have bought at a higher level. Some have bought at a much lower level. But you know what? Long term, Robbie shared a piece that I'd shared with many of you last week, the words of Richard Russell, who says he buys gold. $300 an ounce, $3,000 an ounce. He will not sell it. It is an asset. It's an asset you sit on. It's an asset you pass on down. As with all commodities, the price of precious metals is driven in large part by supply and demand. When it's scarce, prices go up. Well, scarcity doesn't itself make prices go up. Demand does, and there's a big difference. Two or three things are driving the precious metals market, Professor Wansley said. The first and most obvious is the level of industrial demand for precious metals is quite high. A lot of people want something tangible to invest in, but the average investor's best chance to physically hold their investment is to buy gold coins. Those words from Jeff Garrett, president of the Professional Numismatists Guild. I should know that word better than you do. An international association of coin and paper money experts based in Fallbrook, California. A lot of people want something tangible to invest their money in, but the average investor's best chance to physically hold their investment is to buy gold coins. He says maybe they got burned by the stock market in the past. Seeing something actually go to zero can be shocking. I think definitely gold still has room to grow. Think about that. Seeing something go to zero can be shocking. And there's not a stock cycle out there that doesn't bring exactly that to play. The dot-coms. How many stocks have you owned in your lifetime that have actually gone to zero? Maybe you've never owned a stock, and that's okay. You own stock in America. It's called a dollar. Or a 5 or a 10 or whatever. It's going to zero, ladies and gentlemen. Garrett continues by saying, as with any investment, the buy low, sell high rule applies to precious metals. I took some time to edit that down to get to the basic gist of it. The column itself went on much, much longer than that. But the rest of it becomes what I call fill-in issues. Why do I share this information with you? Why do we come to you with basically economic commentary several nights a week? Combination of reasons, as Robbie made it quite plain and clear. Republic Trading Group is the main financial artery of the Republic Broadcasting Network. You are not being inundated with financial news 24 hours a day here. It's not that some other broadcasters may not bring up some key issues as relates to housing or medical, Medicaid, debt deficit, things of that nature. But even when Robbie's on, you know, we're not talking finance for an entire hour. Sometimes you touch on it, you say what you have to say, you move on. It is chiefly our responsibility to continue to bring to you a thought process and understanding of the reasons for owning gold and silver. Robbie mentioned earlier that he'd made a comment back in June that you'll never see $600 an ounce gold again in your lifetime. He's now regretting that because we're certainly not that far from it. I will never make predictions of that type. All I can do is share with you what the predictions of others are in those respects, because I've learned a long time ago. A prediction is exactly that. It's one man's opinion based on who knows what. Economically, this country is not in as strong a condition, not when we have to seriously look at the words of William Norman Gregg and realize that this country, literally, to this right now, can be bought and sold by the Chinese. The communist red Chinese can buy and sell this country right this minute. They can make us or they can break us tonight in our sleep. Economically, they don't need to fire a missile, a bullet. They don't need to send millions of little Chinamen over here to invade this country. They can do it economically. When we realize that our cities and our states are selling off our future, something's wrong. They're getting 10 or 20 or $3.5 billion for something now, and in 5, 6, 7 years, it's all over. It's break even. Now they won't have that revenue coming in anymore. And you know government's not going to stretch that $3.5 billion for anything. I see things only worsening in this country. And I'm saddened by it. Amongst the things that we try to do, we try to look and find some interesting packages, interesting offerings to try to have a wide variety of different forms of gold and silver and things of that nature, different various different coins that we can make available to you. Because there are different ways to buy gold. We can buy British sovereigns or modern American $5 and $10 commemorative pieces, which are still, to me, one of the best buys out there. We can buy modern-day bullion pieces. We can buy old international sovereigns and Swiss and French pieces and Italian, whatever. I had a selection of coins I acquired for one of my clients last week that we kiddingly referred to as the Infidel Haters Package. And it was a joke because the coins were all from Turkey and Iraq. Old gold coins from back in the 1920s. I don't get enough of those to be able to do it. And I, you know. So Robbie and I started talking early this morning and said, you know, there's a lot going on in the markets right now. The markets are not probably where we would like to see them, but I don't care. I don't try to pick a bottom of a market any more than I try to pick a top. You lose every time you do it. You buy slowly, you buy constantly, you do things in a consistent manner. Your goal becomes down the road, ensuring that you're going to be able to care for your family. And so Robbie had an idea that he wanted to offer some gold and silver American Eagle coins. And so I was able to put a package together with one of our suppliers. And something just kept scraping the back of my head. My head just kept scratching. I had an itch. So we came up with a second package. Listen to this. We got two offerings tonight. The interesting thing is they're the same money. Same amount of money for either package. Option number one, the Eagles Up package. Beat the banksters. Now, why do I do this? This package includes 5 1-ounce gold American Eagle bullion coins. 5 of them, 5 ounces of gold American Eagle bullion coins. Also is going to include 5 rolls, 100 1-ounce American Silver Eagles bullion coins. The Eagles Up package, delivered to your door. 5 ounces of gold, 100 ounces of silver. What a great package. $4,780 delivered. $4,780 delivered. Obviously, if you choose to order multiple packages, I get a little bit of decrease on the shipping factor. But the shipping's included in that price. What became interesting when Robbie and I were doing the show is he did the math. We just shared with you a few minutes ago how much is the Bank of Tennessee, the First Tennessee Bank, selling these coins for. American Buffalo gold bullion coins are selling at the First Tennessee Bank for $695 each. The American Eagle at $670. Well, the first thing is, if you just want a raw American Buffalo gold bullion coin tonight, it's not going to cost you $695 from Republic Trading Group. The markets have settled. It's not worth $25 more than the American Eagle. They both have an ounce of gold in them. And I'm not going to charge you the $670 for the American Gold Eagle. And you're certainly not going to pay $18 a piece for the Silver Eagles. The package we're offering, the Eagles Up package, 5 1-ounce gold American Eagles and 100 1-ounce American Silver Eagles at $4,780 is $600 less than what the Bank of Tennessee is charging for the same exact coin. So you see, the bankers still screw you. The bankers are still dipping into people's pockets. No wonder they're so profitable. Maybe you ought to be a banker. That's option number one. Option number two takes us down a different path. Pre-1933 gold, all U.S. The Liberty's Up package, beat the Treasury, includes five each U.S. $20 Liberty Double Eagles. Nearly a full ounce each. Five of these. We'll get you a range of dates. I can't guarantee you're going to get five different ones. Five U.S. $20 Liberty Double Eagles. And four U.S. $10 Liberty Eagles. All of them in XF condition. I don't mean VF that we're telling you are XF. XF coins. Hand-selected. As close to the AU as we can. Same money. $4,780 delivered. Either package is a spectacular buy. You want to pick up one or more of each package? Would you like to pick up just one of each? You can do that. If you don't have $4,780 liquid to put into a package like that, you know what? You pick up the phone, you call us at 1-800-691-7898. Let us know what you have to work with. We will help build the package that fits your needs. It's not to say you got a call tonight, this is the only thing we've got. This is a neat package. The bullion package is going to be a little wiggy because it's really after hours. I cannot get a hold of my bullion trader at this hour to guarantee, but we're going to take that chance. We offered this for 1 hour after we got off Robbie's off of John's show this afternoon. That expired an hour ago. We're going to give it one more hour as soon as this program is over. That's it. 1 hour from the time this program is over at, let's see, it's almost 6 and 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Central Time's cutoff. If you're interested in either one of these, you give us a call tonight and get it locked in. 1-800-691-7898. I think they're both a great buy. Look, a lot of you folks out there I know have spent a lot of years buying $5 and $10 and $20 U.S. gold pieces. If you want certified, we can go that way. Most of our clients are looking for the gold content, not the rarity factor. Although I will go back to the gentleman's comment. He said earlier, once people get their base gold, many of them want to begin to look at rarities. Newcomers to precious metals investing often start by purchasing bullion and then moving on to rare coins, which can fetch prices much higher than the actual value of the metal in the coin. They're valued according to their rarity, their age, their condition, compared to bullion coins, which are priced according to the market value of the metal. Here's the beauty of rarity. And I'm not trying to get you to go in this direction, but I just want you to understand. Robbie did some numbers a little earlier and calculated for a Mint State 64, $20 Liberty. or maybe it was a St. Gaudens. He was calculating that, many of these companies out there right now are in the $1,400 plus range. The big companies, you know who they are. Some of them broadcast on this network. Some of them broadcast on other networks. $1,400 plus. Those coins should be in the $900 range. From Republic Trading Group, they would be. But take advantage of these neat offerings tonight. The Your Choice, the Eagles Up Package, 5 1-ounce American Eagle Gold Bullion Coins and 100 1-ounce American Silver Eagle Bullion Coins. Or option number two, the Liberties Up Package, 5 of the $20 Liberty Double Eagles and 4 of the U.S. $10 Liberty Eagles. Your choice of package is $4,780 delivered. 1-800-691-7898. Now, Rob, you'll be back in the chair tomorrow night. Federal Observer's chat room still is unable to be open because of technical reasons. We are working on that. I invite you to visit the Federal Observer and the Republic Trading Group's website at your time and leisure and convenience. I'll be back in this chair Thursday night next week. And unless he changes his mind, I have a distinct feeling Mr. Noel is going to be gone for the week. I'll be sitting here all week. And I'm lining up a very special guest that I've been talking about on and off, who's going to be coming in to spend most of an hour with us to talk about trusts and the pros and the cons and the different kinds. And you're going to find that a lot of you have been conned. Let's hope you haven't shelled out too much money. And we're going to show you how to save some money on trusts. We're going to talk about why you want trusts. Interesting enough, the purchase of a lot of these gold and silver coins can be made a part of a trust, certainly the collectibles. It's a great way to be able to stave off the tax man legitimately, so that at such time of your passing or the passing of you and your wife, that your estate will instantly be handed into the control of a family member or a trusted friend or whomever, and keep it out of probate and keep it out of the hands of the bad boys. So I'll let you know Thursday night what night we're going to have our friend up. We'll be talking about trust. I will have that scheduled for one night next week. Take advantage if you are in the market for gold and silver. Once again, do give Republic Trading Group a call, 1-800-691-7898. You got an hour. Take advantage of these packages, and we'll be shutting the door on that one, and we'll have to reassess the market value come morning. On behalf of Robbie Noel and myself, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.